Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The federal government has released preliminary studies of a proposed industrial road through northern Alaska to a region rich in minerals. Anchorage Daily News reported yesterday that the Bureau of Land Management released the draft studies last week that are a prerequisite to construction of the 200-mile road. The Bureau says it's analyzing an Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority application for a 50-year right-of-way. The state agency says the two-lane road would encourage mineral extraction in the Ambler Mining District, which it calls one of the world's largest undeveloped copper-zinc belts. Conservation groups, including the Wilderness Society and the Western Arctic Caribou Herd Working Group, oppose the road. The environmental law firm Trustees for Alaska calls the project a state-funded gravel private driveway for mining interests. The Glory Hall, a homeless shelter in downtown Juneau, has plans to move to a new location near the city's airport. That's if the shelter can get the money it needs for a down payment. But the shelter is also getting pushback from community members about the potential impact of the move and what some believe has been a lack of transparency. Community members met with staff from the Glory Hall and their board last week. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
The Glory Hall's board of directors first circulated a fundraising letter in June asking for donations to help with the $300,000 down payment on a new piece of land. In the letter, members of the fundraising committee write that the Glory Hall, formerly known as the Glory Hole, provides an essential safety net for vulnerable people in need of food and shelter. They also write that some in the community feel the current location, quote, has a negative impact on downtown and downtown businesses, end quote. That has led to concern among some Juneau residents that the move is motivated by business interests rather than what's best for the shelter's patrons.
That is not what's happening. The Glory Hall have fought about this long and hard. The reason is definitely to serve our mission better and not because we're getting pushed out of town.
That's Glory Hall director Maria Levishuk. She says the Glory Hall has outgrown its current facility. The building can't accommodate patrons with mobility issues, and there's not enough storage. They also have problems keeping the building secure. Levishuk says she held the meeting to answer questions. She also wanted to get feedback from neighbors of the lot they hope to buy. It's in an industrial area behind the Nugget Mall. The land is owned by St. Vincent de Paul, a charity with a transitional housing facility nearby. But Valley residents Ron and Kathy Swanson said after the meeting they didn't feel like their questions were answered. They live in the Aurora Court neighborhood, about half a mile away from the new location.
There hasn't been any transparency with our neighborhood. We're families with kids out in the valley versus the demographic downtown, which is tourists and businesses.
Ron Swanson said he only learned about the land purchase secondhand and was surprised to hear how far along in the process the homeless shelter had gotten before the meeting. He doesn't think the Glory Hall has done enough outreach to potential neighbors.
Were those businesses ever asked about what their thoughts and concerns were? They just didn't approach anybody.
Other people pointed out that the current plan would move the Glory Hall's patrons further away from services like the Front Street Clinic downtown. Lina, a Glory Hall patron, says she's not worried about where the shelter is. She just wants a safe place to sleep.
When a person needs a place to live, they're not going to be very picky at that choice. They need services, not just the shelter.
I mean, the services are really scattered all over Juneau. And actually, we are one of the hubs of the services. At St. Vincent, we're one of the hubs of housing. We always have been.
That's Brad Perkins, the director of St. Vincent de Paul. St. Vincent de Paul has a complex for families and adults. Perkins says the prospect of becoming neighbors with the Glory Hall has been discussed for a while. He says they also hope to use the proceeds from the land sale to do much-needed upgrades to their own facilities. According to Bruce Denton, vice chair of the Glory Hall board, they need less than $20,000 at this point to secure the land by September 1st. After that, the board will work with Northwind Architects to refine plans for what the new building will look like. Levishuk says the long-term plan includes selling the downtown property, although she said at the meeting she did not know the current value. City records show that the property was last assessed in 2010, when the land and building value totaled $845,000. It hasn't been assessed since then because the Glory Hall doesn't pay property taxes. That's because a religious organization owns the building. In the meantime, Levishuk says they're operating with about half their normal staff levels at the Glory Hall. Several staff members left after Governor Dunleavy vetoed funding to social services. The Glory Hall stopped serving breakfast and lunch for a short time. Even though they were able to start serving those meals again quickly, they haven't managed to replace all their staff. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
A regulatory agency has proposed changes that would limit activities at city breweries and distilleries. Juneau Empire reported yesterday that the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board has proposed changes to a state statute that would further prohibit on-site activities at alcohol manufacturing businesses. Regulation includes prohibiting breweries and distilleries from allowing festivals, games and competitions, classes, public parties, presentations or performances, and other social gatherings advertised to the general public. Officials say a regulation draft was discussed in June 2018, and the change being considered is a revised proposal. Some owners oppose the changes, saying it prohibits them from creating a new social space for the community. The proposal is open to public comment through October 4th. 5 years after Washington launched its pioneering legal marijuana market, officials are proposing an overhaul of the industry's rules. Plans call for boosting minority ownership of pot businesses, paving the way for home deliveries of medical cannabis, and letting the smallest growers increase the size of their operations and become more competitive. Liquor and Cannabis Board Director Rick Garza says the proposals are part of what the board calls Cannabis 2.0. It's an effort to picture what the legal marijuana market will look like over the next 5 years. The board is requesting that lawmakers pass bills that would create a social equity program to help increase minority, woman, and military veteran ownership in cannabis businesses, and that would allow the smallest growers to sell directly to registered marijuana patients. State of Alaska has issued a public health alert about some cases of lung illnesses that could be associated with vaping. Health officials have logged 193 potential cases, including one fatality, across 22 states between June and August. An illness being associated with vaping doesn't necessarily mean vaping caused it, just that it's a common thread among all the patients. Health officials have not identified a specific product or device common to all the cases. State and federal health officials are investigating. No cases have been reported in Alaska, but state officials want healthcare providers to report respiratory illness cases among people reporting recent inhaled drug use to state epidemiologists. Centers for Disease Control says symptoms include cough, shortness of breath, and fatigue. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan wants to increase Arctic security infrastructure throughout the state, and during a short visit to Unalaska last week, he said the island and its port will play a role in that vision. Still, as KUCB's Hope McKinney reports, he stopped short of giving specifics.
As Russia and China work to expand their influence in the Arctic, Senator Sullivan says federal officials in the U.S. are finally starting to recognize the strategic importance of the region, a recognition that may result in a greater military presence in the Aleutian Islands.
There is an increase in awareness of the need for more Coast Guard, more Navy, more military throughout our state because of the strategic importance of the Arctic. And a lot of what we're trying to do is bring those assets here.
Sullivan didn't offer specifics on when that'll happen or what it'll look like in Unalaska, where the only full-time military presence is a 7-person Coast Guard unit focused on fishing boat safety. Still, the senator told a crowd of almost 50 Unalaskans gathered at the island's hotel that it was significant that he'd brought with him Coast Guard Vice Commandant Charles Ray and Senator Roger Wicker. Wicker is a Mississippi Republican who chairs the Senate Commerce Committee, which is legislative oversight over the Coast Guard.
The world is paying more attention to this region of the world, to this state. Certainly, our members of the armed forces are recognizing more and more how strategic this is.
Wicker didn't address that a shipbuilder in his home state was awarded a nearly $746 million contract this year to build a new polar security cutter to join the Coast Guard's polar icebreaker fleet. In all, the three high-level visitors took only a few questions from Unalaskans, all unrelated to Arctic security, before getting back on their plane. But according to city manager Aaron Reinders, Sullivan spent time earlier in the day meeting with local officials who were eager to discuss other issues affecting the island, especially ahead of the city council's September lobbying trip to Washington, D.C.
So now we're able to go and talk with him about our priorities. We'll be able to really talk with him and know that he has just recently seen it.
Reinders says those priorities include improving Unalaska's poor broadband, dredging the entrance channel to the port, and raising funding for a $59 million project that would extend paving and utilities along Captain's Bay Road. All of that infrastructure would be important if Unalaska developed its strategic role as Sullivan wants. Reinders says she is hopeful the senator will help forward the city's plans, whether or not they eventually pay for U.S. interests in the Arctic. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKinney.
And finally, a 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist has crossed the Atlantic on a zero-emission sailboat to attend a conference on global warming. This morning before dawn, Greta Thunberg tweeted, "Land, the lights of Long Island and New York City ahead." She and a sailing crew encountered rough seas on their two-week journey to New York from Plymouth, England. Hundreds of activists this afternoon gathered on a Hudson River promenade to cheer her arrival at a lower Manhattan marina. The teenager refused to fly to avoid a plane's gas emissions. Action against climate change has been a theme of protests she's led in Sweden that inspired student strikes in about 100 cities worldwide. She's also set to speak at the United Nations Climate Action Summit next month. The National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 40. Thursday, sunny, highs around 70. Weather Service has also issued a frost advisory in effect from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. Thursday. And that's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.